All right, so assigning the mission on Sanhedrin, the first parak. So it's a big Mishnah and a lot of details here, but we're going to try to just get the basic divisions. And really, I mean, what I'd like to try to do this year in the Gemaras is, get a basic idea of the structure of Beis Din and how it operates. All right, so the Mishnah starts out with what? Dinei Momonos Bishlosha. Okay, so that's the first level of Beis Din. Right, there's no Beis Din smaller than three. Okay, and we're going to spend time on that. Rashi's big Gemara Yalfinan Lu. We're going to spend some time on that in a couple of days. How do we know that a Beis Din is three? So, but for most of these things, it's three, right? Momonos, Gezelos, Chavolos. So the Gemara goes through what's the difference. Why is Gezelos and Chavolos different than Momonos, right? List them all. Or should, that's right. Or they should be included in Momonos. Yeah.
The type of person is allowed to be.
Okay. All right. So question came up: who can sit on the Beis Din? All right. So we're going to go into all of these questions. Now what? All right, so we're not going to go through all these cases here. Okay. There are a couple machlokes in three, a couple of cases of five, right? But it's all basically. These you could call them maybe civil cases, right? If you'd use a familiar phrase, those cases are three. Medina Momonos is more or less what we call civil matters, right? Now, what's the next level up? Is 23, right? 23 is for who? Is for what type of a case? Dine nefashos, right? That's in the middle of Mishnah. Dine nefashos be'esem v'shlosha. So you have dine momonos b'shlosha. That's the first grouping. And dine nefashos is 23. Okay? Let's go a little further. And then what do you have? So that's the small Beis Din. It's just three. Five and seven is just sort of like augmenting the three. It's a three plus. Okay. What do you have, five and seven? Smichas zekeinim arifas agla b'shlosha. Right, so you have a lot of machloksin, right? Ibrachai b'shlosha, Ibrachai b'shlosha, right? B'shlosha matchilim, b'chamisha nosim v'nosim, gom b'shiva. Yeah. All right. Okay, so Dina Nefashos is 23. And Rashi says the Mishnah itself derives it. Very strange, unusual type of a case. So the Mishnah itself gives you the derivation of the information contained in the Mishnah. But after that is what? What's the next level after 23? Is Sanhedrin. Right? Okay. And what type of cases are those?
National.
That's not bad. That's not a bad definition.
National,
he said. Like when you have to be Dana Shevet, or Navi Sheker, or Kohen Gadol. Right. Go to war. Right. That's or adding on to the ear.
Sanhedrin would actually decide whether you go to war.
They would have to give the consent. It says, "Ein motzien lemilchemes arshus el al pi Beis Din shel shivim
ve'echad." What about a police action?
Yeah, and it calls it the Sanhedrin Gedola was shivim ve'echad, and the Ketana was 23. Yeah. So what is it the? So Rash says. Rashi says from a little earlier, Sanhedrin says, "Shahayu Moshivin Sanhedrin Ketana Shachof Gimel B'chol Ir Ve'ir." Right. Kedachsev V'tizin L'cha B'chol Shorecha Tzrichim based in a gadol shebelishkas a gozes lo tzeis ulo shivim. So every, I mean, you know, the Torah is very committed to access to courts, and the number of dayanim and the number of courts that are available is very very high. All right, every year had a Sanhedrin of 23. They called it a small Sanhedrin of 23, and you needed the big, you needed the Sanhedrin Hagadola, you needed the based in Hagadol to seat them. Everything had to come back to, it's like the Supreme Court, everything had to come back to the Sanhedrin Gedolah.
Is it like that in American law?
In American law, you do have, well, no, they don't have to do that now. Okay, now what else do you have? So now let's go down to the let's take up one question here. Let's get the right. Yeah, so it's strange, but you have machlokas here. Sanhedrin gedol lohoysa shel shivim ve'echad, u'ketana shel esrim v'shlosha. So the Gemara says, minayin legedol lohoysa shel shivim ve'echad. How do you know it's 71? Shenema osvali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael, u'moshe al gaben. So it says, so God said to Moshe, gather for me 70 people. And Moshe was overseeing them, so that's 71, right? That's 71. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivim, amazing. Rabbi Yehuda said 70. It's even. Very strange.
Well, so are we coming into this now as some kind of principle that we don't go even?
Not yet, but we will in a minute. The Mishnah uses that. Yeah, we'll see. Even Rabbi Yehuda is from that principle.
Really?
Yeah.
In general.
Not to have an even?
Not to have an even basin.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So now let's go on. Let's take the, we'll have to leave that. That machlokas is a question of how you darshan those psukim. That when it said, get the 70, do you include Moshe, is Moshe included in that Sanhedrin? So that'll make it 71, or it's not. But let's leave that alone for right now. Now let's go to the Gemara. The Mishnah spends a lot of time working on the 23. It's very instructive, so let's take it up. Go ahead, anyone want to read? Minayin l'ketana shi esrim v'shlosha. Get the psukim? It's good if you get the psukim, I guess. Get the chumash out. So the whole parsha is talking about the din of a rotzeach. Okay.
What parsha is this in?
This is in Masoi, in Lamed Hey, Bamidbar Lamed Hey. It starts in Pasuk Tes. The parsha starts in Pasuk Tes. Okay, and it goes through the details of the rotzeach. Right? If he's shogig or not, if he has to go to your miklat or not, or if he's put to death. So it says Vishoftu Ha'eda Vishoftu Ha'eda Bain Hamake Ubain Gol Hadam. So it's interesting. It's an interesting thing that the Torah portrays the din of Nefashos as a competition between the Rotzeach, the accused killer, and the family member of the deceased. It's like a competition between the two.
If he can kill him, or if he can get to the city first?
No, just the din itself. No, it says v'hitzilu, it says v'shoftu ha'eda. No, it's the litigants. It's like there are two litigants in the case. Who are the litigants? Bein ha'makeh, the one who did the hitting, u'bein gol hadam. Right, they decide. V'shoftu ha'eda, the congregation decides. I'm on pasuk chaf dalet.
Okay.
Right. So they decide. They judge. The congregation judges between the make and the goel adam. Al hamishpat ha'eila. So the psukim lay out all the rules. right? If he...
What are they judging?
So they're judging on the guilt of the makir or the innocence of the makir. But it means to say the guilt is... It's like I would say if you two have a claim against each other.
Right.
So I'd say, well, I'm going to judge between you and you. I'm going to judge between Meir and Yonah. Right? But that means it's like you each have claims against each other. Right?
As opposed to,
let's say, in American law. Right? In American law, there's no... there aren't two parties, really, in a criminal case.
Uh-huh.
It's the state against the guy.
And in the case of...
Here it's representing it. It's interesting the way the psukim represent it.
Is
because it says, V'shoftu ha'eda, bein ha'makeh, u'bein goel hadam. In other words, someone will win this case. Who's going to win the case? Will the makeh win the case, or will the goel hadam win the case?
It's not judging the goel hadam.
No. It's judging his claim. In other words, it's represented as it's the claim of the goel hadam against the makeh. In American law, it's true in American law too. It's just in American law we say it's the state against the defendant. And din always, apparently, it's interesting, din always means there's a claimant and there has to be a claimant. Someone has to be making a claim against somebody, and then the judges verify the veracity of the claim. They judge on the veracity of the claim.
If this is the case, it's a case where it's b'shogeg, right?
Well, we don't know what the case is. We know this guy was chopping wood, and this guy is dead. We know Reuven was chopping wood, and Shimon is dead.
Well, it seems from the pasuk that it's v'shogeg.
Well, that's what they're judging. That's v'shoftu. That's
I understand that. So now I'm asking a question on this. If they decide it's v'shogeg, right? So now he's allowed to go to Bar Mikvah.
Right.
Okay. What's stopping the Goel Hadam from killing him the second they make the claim?
That's Hitzilu Ha'edas HaRotzeach Miad Goel Adam V'Shivu Oso Ha'eda El Ir Miklot V'Asher Nos Shoma. They're supposed to help him get back to the... they're supposed to help him. That's why there's a mitzvah that the rose should be... If he's in it, if he's shogeg, yeah.
So why is he allowed to kill him?
That's a good question. Yeah, but... I mean, why does he have the permission to kill him if the guy leaves Ir Miklot?
No. If he's on the way to the Ir Miklot, he's supposed to be protected by...
We won't talk. But, I mean, Bekitzer, let's not confuse two things together. It was over here, the Gemara is the Psukim are discussing whether the guy is Chayav Misa or not. I'm just making the point that the Chayav Misa is considered... It's considered like the Goel Hadam's case against the Makeh. In other words... Who's bringing the accusation?
I don't see how it's any different than a normal American law case.
It's not, because American law case is nothing like that at all. American law case is the state brings the action. Not personal. Uh-huh. Whenever you
but
read
it's on behalf of the person who's dead.
No, it's not. Well, no. It's on behalf of you violated the state, the laws of the state. The attorney general enforces the laws of the state.
Would you equate it more to like just in a vacuum deciding this guy killed?
No, it's interesting. It's never purely in a vacuum. It always has to do with somebody bringing a claim. American law, we designate the attorney general as the guy who decides which actions of the state should be brought. But there's always a V in the case.
It's actually versus.
Versus. There's always a versus. And then the judges call it.
Yeah, how come that doesn't make any sense?
Not really up to the guy. We don't mean to say that the family member here has the choice. It's not true. But it's considered like it was a violation against the family, as opposed to a violation against the state. In other words, the Torah portrays the crime as against the members of the victim's family, as opposed to against the state in general.
That's this particular.
Right. Right, now Yonah's making a good point. There are certain times where it's just the guy's Mechal Shabbos. Right? So then you don't have that type of a setup. You don't have a member. There's no victim. Then we would say it's the based in as a representative of the... Right. Then we say it's the then we would say they're not deciding a question between two people, right? You can't say that over there. You say then they're just being done on the din itself. That's interesting. Okay, that's something to think about. But anyway, so the point over here is what? What does the pasuk say? It says Vishoftu ho'eda bein hamake u'bein gol hadam ala mishpatam ha'elu. That's one pasuk. V'hitzilu ho'eda eserotzeach miad gol hadam. And the Eda rescues the Rotzeach from the hands of the Goel Adam. Okay, so what is the Gemara, how does the Mishnah interpret this? In a very interesting way. Go ahead, you want to read it?
Gemara?
Yeah. Minayin l'katana shishil eshrim v'shlosha.
Right. Matzelas.
Ah. So Rashi, so the Gemara, the Mishnah learns it like this. It's always interesting how the Mishnah, how we dash in the pasuk, right? So they say like this, Eda shofetes, it says two things. It says, v'shoftu ho'eda, v'hitzilu ho'eda. So what would you think? You would think it's the same guys. No, it's not the same guys. It says, Eda shofetes, v'eda matzelas. Rashi, Eda shofetes, and then it says, harekan esrim.
Yeah, but that
comes out to 20.
It is the same guys, though.
No, it's not the same guys. What's Rashi. Asara mechayvin, ve'edas matzelas, asara mezakin. Ashma'inan krod, etzarach esrim. Shim yachloku, yihyu asara mechayvin, ve'asara mezakin.
But it's still the same 20 guys.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, same 20. It's saying 10 against 10.
Right, I understand.
How do you read this pasuk? You read the pasuk like this.
It doesn't seem that way.
No, not at all. V'shoftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. They're saying that that's happening simultaneously. It requires an unusual interpretation of v'shoftu, right? V'shoftu, we tend to think, means just the process of judging.
Yeah.
Right? He's not saying that. They're saying v'shoftu means mechayovin. 10, one Eda is convicting him, is condemning him, and one Eda is exonerating him.
It has to be set up like that? Where they're arguing against each other?
He's saying, what does Rashi say? He says, since the Pasuk says there are two groups arguing, there's one group of 10 arguing for his conviction. And one group of 10 arguing for his innocence. So Rashi says that shows you that there have to be at least 20 in the basin. Ashma'in and krod etzarach estrim. Why? She'im yachloku yihyu asar mechayavin v'asar mezakin. Has to be set up so that if there's a machlokus, it's capable of having a machlokus of Eda against Eda. So we get to 10, because Eda means 10. I'm sorry, we get to 20. Eda means 10. And now we're learning Eda Shofetes and Eda Matzeles. That's 20. But what does it mean? Let's just stop there for a minute. So what does that mean? What is that describing over here? Eda Matzeles, Eda Shofetes, Eda Matzeles. It's what? What's telling you? It's describing what? In other words, the quality of machlokas that has to be capable of occurring. Okay? The level of machlokas. What's the level of machlokas? It has to be a machlokas not of individuals, but of groups. Okay? And what do we say, what's the idea of Eda in general? It means to say, like a minion is also derived from Eda. Right. It means to say there's a certain point where you have a group that forms around personalities, around individual idiosyncrasies. Okay, you might have a small group of friends, and they'll share in common some. They're friends because they share in common some quirk. Right? Maybe they surf or skydive or something crazy like that. Right? But. In general, he's saying once you get to a certain level of inclusion, 10, we say, that sort of equalizes people's idiosyncrasies, and it becomes like a unified, more of a universal type of a group. And I'm not expressing it properly. Let me try again. It becomes more of a normal distribution, right? No, it becomes more of a normal distribution. Take three people together, four people together. So then you'll say that they. I started that wrong. Forget about the example I gave before of unifying around a cause. I don't mean that. I don't mean that at all. I'm sorry. Let's start the other way. It's like you take randomly four or five people together, six people together. So then you're going to have a certain, in smaller numbers, you're going to have a skewed representation of the whole, right? Like polling, like when you take a poll. Take a poll out of three people, it's going to be much, much less accurate than a poll out of 10 people. At a certain point where we say there's a group that doesn't represent a peculiarity, but it represents the whole itself, right? At 10, certain, that's the idea of Ada. Ada means we have a group that represents, that's like a representative of the whole community. It's like a sampling of the entire am. So up to 10, you can argue about the number, whether it should be 10 or 20 or 50 or 100. But we're saying at a certain point, that's when we say tefillah biyachid turns into tefillah b'tzibur. Why? Because at a certain point, the particular differences between the individuals sort of negate each other, and now you have a representation of a representation of the underlying of a certain underlying idea. So Klal Yisrael, when you have 10 Jews, right, when you have 10 Jews, that represents a higher level of that represents a sampling of the Am itself. All right. So the point over here is it's not an individual. It's not individuals. If you had a basin of three, you had one guy against one guy, you could say, well, there's something about this guy. There's something personal over here. There's something of the way he looks at it that causes him to say this. You could chalk it up to certain particulars.
So why have a case of three?
Okay, it's a good question. But when you have 10 against 10, now you say there's a real issue here, that people see things differently. This is something that people see things differently. It's not a particular thing. You understand? So it has to be that the level of machlokas should really come down to a machlokas that stems from different ways of seeing things, as opposed to an individual's particular idiosyncrasy. I'm saying that I'm not saying that the 10 of the Beis Din is the same thing as the 10 of Tefillah B'Tzibur. I'm not saying we're trying to accomplish the same thing. I'm saying the same idea is underlying both. That in both cases, there's a certain point where when you add individuals, you just have an addition of individuals. There's a certain point where they form a group. Okay? Where they form a separate identity of a group itself. And the individuals no longer stand out. If I have three people, so you'll say, if I have 10, if I have 8 people, whatever the number is, you'll say, here is, each particular person still stands out on his own. They might have something that they're doing together, but the difference is still 8 people doing something. You don't say we don't say, halachically speaking, it's an entity. It's not a new entity until you reach the point where particulars become swallowed up by the whole. So for tefillah b'tzibur, you need something like that, because that's the difference between yachad and tzibur. That's the very definition of the difference between yachad and tzibur. And for this Beis Din, you need that, because we don't want it to be a machlokas of individuals. It should be capable of being a machlokas of groups, because that represents a higher striving for the truth. In other words, individuals a particular person has a lot of, a particular person is different than a group. In what way? When you say a group, everybody individually has their own likes and dislikes, their own particular way of doing things, okay? When you get a group, what is the idea of a group? It means to say that the particulars no longer are the driving force, because since you have a sampling of 10 different people, now let me put it this way. If I had three people doing the same thing, I could say, well, they all happen to have the same peculiar way of looking at things. Okay? When you have 10 people doing something, you'll say that since you have so many people, their particular likes and dislikes are going to be in contradiction with each other. And if they're doing something together, it represents an underlying truth that they're all associating with. You understand? In theory, that's the idea. The idea is individuals could be, there are different ways we operate. We operate based on there's a deep sense of truth. Some people have that there's an underlying reality, and then there's the particulars of the way we might be swayed. Okay, if you take a large enough group of people, you'll cancel out all the particulars, because naturally, particulars are different in every individual. So if you have a bigger group of the bigger the grouping, then it sort of is like offsetting the particulars. And if they're doing something together, it must represent a deeper truth. You understand? That's the theory. A tzibor is the difference between a collection of individuals. Collection of individuals could be they happen to align their peculiarities. Tzibor represents where we're sort of filtering out the particularities by having a large sampling of people that would naturally, conflate those effects or and negate those effects, and then they must be motivated. Then we say that they're motivated by the way they see it, by the way that this problem really lends itself to two ways of being viewed, as opposed to saying certain types of guys are automatically biased to this. No, it has nothing to do with any bias. It has to do with the fact that this really is a deep question of din, and it's not a simple question, and honest minds will see things differently. So we want that type of discourse, that type of group, that type of machlokas has to be represented in a capital case. When you're putting somebody to death, when you're standing at, when it's that important, we can't allow the chance of being, of chalking it up to individuals. Yeah, that's good. Okay, but we're still a long way off from 23. Seems like we're close, but we're a long way off from 23. So now what have I got? I've got 10 against 10. Now what? Uminayin lahavi od shlosha. So how do I get three more people? Yeah, go ahead.
Mimashma shenemar lotye achre ravim l'rov.
Okay, this pasuk is essential to the whole masechta. Okay, this pasuk is so much built on this pasuk. Let's take a look at it carefully. It's a famously confusing pasuk, though. it's practically impossible just to read it straight. How's it go? It says like this. This is talking about based. So it says like this. Lo sisa shem ashav. Okay. Next, like this. Lo sihiya achare rabim l'ro'os. So what does that mean? That's not bad, right? Don't be after the majority for evil.
Doesn't okay. That simply mean don't follow the masses?
For the bad, right? V'lo sa'ane al riv lintos achare rabim Lehatos. That's the hard part to read. Lintos. Let's just read it literally. Lo tia achare rabim liros, right? Don't be after the majority for evil. Velo sa'ane al riv, and don't answer an argument, right? Lo sa'ane, don't answer. Al riv, meaning about a riv is an argument. Lintos, to tilt. Achare rabim lahatos, after the majority to tilt.
Well,
the problem is, it doesn't say, the problem is twofold over here. What is the second lo sana al riv lintos acharab mahatos? Is that lira or not? It already said lo ti acharab liros.
So then maybe it's the other way around.
Go ahead.
The first part of the pasuk is telling you.
So it says lo ti acharab liros. So that part we got. Right? Shomea ani she'eya imohem latova. So that's a good diak right now. Just take one piece at a time, the Mish says. So it says, don't be after the majority for evil. What's the implication? You can be after them for good.
I didn't even get up that far.
Okay. Im kain loma nemar achare rabim lahatos. They learned that. They just skipped the losana al riv lintos, okay? So they just, never mind that part. So they read it like this. Lo ti achare rabim laros. Don't go after the majority for evil, but you should go after the majority for good. Oh, so why does it say achare rabim lahatos? Why does it say again to go after the majority? So it means to say the turning, the tilting for good is not like the tilting for bad. Okay, look at Rashi. You got to read the Rashi. Liraos. Right, so first part is lotiach rabim liraos. So that means if the majority is saying, kill him, don't go after the majority. Go ahead.
Shumayani delatova
lizuchos. Ah, but that implies if the majority is saying that he's innocent, we should listen to the majority.
Shafilu mi hamaskim v'rabim hamachayven.
Right, because how do I know that you should go after the majority lizuchus? Because even when the mizakin are the minority, and the mechayavin are the majority, it says don't listen to the majority. Right? No, I go after the majority. Now, is he saying a minority of zuchus can prevent the majority of Chov, right, from enacting their din? Majority says kill him, and the minority says don't. So that shows you that there's a power of the minority when they're claiming Zechus. You see the power of Zechus. What's the power of Zechus? Even a minority will prevent a majority of Chov. Minority of Zechus will prevent a majority of Chov. So if the minority of Zechus can prevent the majority of Chov, then the majority of Zechus should be able to certainly would prevent the guy from being killed.
How does it work when someone gets killed?
Okay. So just by telling you don't go after the majority to kill him, we would know the minority. We would know that he would definitely go free if there was a majority of people saying he's free, he's innocent. Okay. So then, why does it have to say extra go after the majority? Imkein loma nemar achare rabim lahatos. So why does it say go after the majority? It can't be talking about the majority for evil. It can't be talking about a majority of one for evil. That we already said we don't have to go after. And it doesn't need to tell me to go after the majority of Zechus, because I can imply that from the beginning. Right? Lo itzrich le ella afilu lechayev haloch acharem. So it must mean that there is a majority that you can go after even for ra'ah. So it goes like this. Don't go after the majority for ra'ah, which implies you go after the majority for tov. And then it says, but go after the majority. It implies there is a majority that you can follow even for ra'ah. Okay? So that's what it means. It means you have to tilt for the raw, but the tilting for the raw is not like the tilting for the good. For the good, all you need is a majority of one. But for the raw, you need a majority of two. That's how they dash it out. Lo katayoscha, achar rabam lizkos. Ani omer lecho lintos acharabim. Lo katayoscha acharabim lizkos. Ani omer lecho lintos acharabim lechova. Not in the way I tell you to go after the majority of zechus, is the way you go after the majority of chov. Elo zechus al pi echad. Afilu ein yaseirin mezakin al mechayav. And elo echad. Zaka. Zocha. Aval lechova ad shiu mechayav en otvin al mezakin shnayim. That's what it means. It means there's two types of majority. For the zechus, we'll follow a majority of one. But for the chov, you need a majority of two. V'hochikomar. Lo, now here's how you read the pasuk. Lo tiye acharam l'ro'os al pi echad. Don't follow a simple majority for ro'ah. Oval acharabim b'shnayim afilu l'ro'os. But if it's a super majority of two, then you can follow them even for raw. Hilkach, so how many do we have to have? So now to kill a guy, how many people do you need?
22.
Because you need Eda, that's 10. And then you need a majority. The Eda of raw has to be a majority of 2 over the Eda of Zuchus. So that's Hilkach al Korchach, Chof Beis Bo'inon. You need at least 22 people on the Beistin. The Botzer Me'asar Mezakin Lake Alameimer. You can't have less than 10 who are saying he's innocent. The Haksivit Silo Eda. It already says the Eda. There has to be an Eda. It has to be capable of having an Eda, a machlokas, where one full Eda says he's innocent. Right? Vesulo Mishkachas Chova Botzer Me'ud Beis. So once there has to be an Eda who says he's innocent, and you need a majority of 2 to convict, must be 22 people on the basin.
You know you need 10, you definitely need 10 and 10, you need 2 Edas.
That's right, and you need a majority of 2 to convict. So you need 10 who's saying he's innocent, and 12 who's saying he's guilty. That's the only way you can convict the guy.
Why wouldn't you say that it's, let's say 20, and then you could have, when the judgment falls, you have like 8 and 12.
Oh, because then you don't have Vitzilu Ha'eda. You have to be able to have a certain kind of an argument with a decision of the majority on one side. In other words, there's the quality of the argument. Still has to be a 10 against 10. Still has to be an Ada against an Ada argument. But one Ada has a majority, but you'll only convict when one Ada is greater than the other by 2.
So in every case, you're always going to have at least 10 saying on each side.
No, but it has to be capable of that. Has to be capable of that.
Verse 3.
Well, right now we only have 22.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so just to clarify, so if you had if there's 23, and 13 are mechayev him, and 12 are.
Let's get 22. Okay, right now we're at 22. So now we're at 22. Okay. Now here's the zinger. Ve'ein based in shakel. Ah, but we have a rule. You can't have an even based in. Mosifin od echad. Harekan esim v'shlosha.
How's that going to feel?
Rashi, ein osin based in zugos. What does Rashi mean? You don't make pairs. We don't construct a based in out of pairs. Why? Shim yachloku lichetzoin havilu palgu palga. So that if they argue down the middle, if they argue in half, then you'll have half against half. So if you're adding 2 people at a time to the based in, then each thing you add is capable of having a split decision, and then you'll always have you'll have the possibility of having a machlokas that has no majority. V'lo mishkachas la hatayasecha letova al pi echad. You won't be able to have a simple majority for zechus. If I have 22, now I can never have the guy get off by one vote. Because it'll either be 11-11 or 12-12, 12-10. Uh-huh. Right? But it says he should be innocent by a one vote majority. So it's not possible if it's 22. Hilkach mosifin aleim od echad. Okay, now what are you thinking? What are you thinking, Yonah? What's bothering you?
No.
Okay. Well, bigamora parach. Kevan dein based in shokol mitzreches esrim v'shlosha. So now we need 23. Hatayer l'ro al pishnayim lo mishkachas.
Now you can't have. Right.
Now you can't have a majority of two.
Right.
So now it comes out a funny thing.
Well, why not?
Because once you have 23, you can't have a majority of two. You can't have 22, and you can't have 12 against 10 anymore. You're either gonna have to have a majority of three. The smallest majority now you can have is three to convict. The Gemara is bothered by that. You would think you shouldn't be bothered by that. But the Gemara is bothered by that.
It's the same kind of problem, which is why we added the 30 guy, the 23rd guy, isn't it?
But you'll never get out of this problem. Keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Now, in order to have a majority of one, you need an odd number. In order to have a majority of two, you need an even number. How can you have the possibility of both? You can't. You can't with a static number. The answer is, I'll just tell you the answer. The Gemara says you keep adding two. One, if there's ever a case where it's 12 who say convict and 11 say he's innocent, so you don't have the conviction by two, and you don't have the innocence by one. They keep adding two, until they get to 71. And if they get to 71 and they can't decide, they stay until one guy changes his mind. And if nobody changes their mind, the Rosh of the Sanhedrin says, that's it, he's innocent.
It does work like that. The rule really sticks.
Yeah. In other words, if the conviction by two can ever doesn't come about and you get up to 71,
that's it.
Then you let him go free.
Then you let him go free.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works. They keep adding two and two and two and two, and they keep taking a new vote. And
so you really convict him, it's by three.
Oh, right? Well, there could be. So the Gemara says there's another possibility. There's a possibility like this. Your question is how you get to two, right?
Right.
So the case would be like this. Let's say you have 11 against 11, and one guy says, I don't know. Then they add two more.
Or you can say, I don't know.
Yes.
You're allowed to do that?
Yep.
Do what?
Yeah. Let's say you get to 11 against 11, mm-hmm. and one guy says, I just don't know.
Oh, so then you get the two.
Then they add two.
Two more, and then you can have.
And then you keep taking votes until they get to a majority of two.
Can he change his mind, the guy that says, I don't know, at any point or anything?
That's a good question. I think it depends. I think they say he can change his mind to innocence. Oh, you mean can he come in and say no? Once they add the two,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
once they add the two, he's done with.
He's done.
He's off.
Uh-huh.
Wait, so you add two more guys?
So you can
then all the previous votes are set in stone?
I don't remember right now. I think they say you can go from Chov to Zechus, but not the other way.
But now you end up with an even base then.
Yes, that's the interesting thing.
Okay.
We have to see how that works.
Yeah,
that's right.
End up with that. Okay.
That somehow is okay. They don't add one at a time. They add two at
that's
a time.
Okay. Yeah, interesting, right?
Things we have to think about. So we're going to stop here. But the things we have to think about is the idea of aim based and shuffle, which is a very important theme. It's going to come up. And if aim based and shuckle, so then how come we do add two at a time if one guy steps down? Now, as we start out with 23, you get 11-11, and one guy says, I don't know, we add two. And when that third guy, the guy who stepped down, is out of the running, he can't vote anymore.
So then,
in this case.
Yeah.
So then it really comes out, we're making a base and shuckle.
Oh, sorry. What I meant was, so when they add two more and another two more, he can't then stay, come back.
No.
You can only change from chayav to not chayav.
Once he says he doesn't know and they add two, he's out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, we have this whole rule. The two really questions is, first, we have this whole rule of aim, base, and shuckle, and now you're making a base and shuckle by adding two. And in the back of our minds also, we should think about Rabbi Yehuda, who says, based on Hedron HaGadol is 70.
Now, what about